You're listening to Advocate Radio, and this is the Lake Highlands podcast for Tuesday, October 12th. I'm Carrie Mitchell, one of the editors at Advocate, and with me today are Ellen Rapp, neighborhood columnist.
Hi, it's good to be here.
And Carol Toller, neighborhood blogger.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Today we're going to talk about a couple of issues. One has been some of the chatter on our blog and as well as other places throughout the city concerning the tragic accident that happened on the Katy Trail recently. And just trails in general, as far as sharing the trails and future of trails in the city and what that might mean for future accidents or not. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about social media. There's a couple of movies out right now, Social Network and Catfish, that talk about this, at least address this issue of social media and how we're kind of dealing with that in our own ways with our neighborhood relationships, friendships, school stuff. And we've got a couple of moms here who are experts at these kinds of issues, so we'll be talking about those things. Let's start with the trails. Carol, I'm going to ask you to kind of take this topic. It's been talked about on the blog. Obviously, it was a tragic accident. You use the trails regularly. Tell me kind of your thoughts on what happened and maybe some other issues surrounding it.
Well, I know that Christina Hughes-Babb has written about it, too, because I know she is a big jogger, and I am a walker and enjoy it. But I think the crash that killed Lauren Huddleston has caused a lot of people to think about the rules of the road and what we can do to make the trails safer. There are more and more people using the trails, and there's been an expansion of the trails, and that's continuing. You know, we've got the wonderful White Rock Trail that goes through the heart of Lake Highlands. In fact, it goes all the way up to Hillcrest and LBJ and beyond, and then it connects with White Rock Lake, which lots of people in Lake Highlands use, and that will soon connect to the Katy Trail, which goes all the way to the American Airlines Center, and that will extend through Lakewood and through Oak Cliff and beyond. So there are more and more people using it, but it seems like the crashes are getting more and more serious. I know I witnessed a crash between a woman who was jogging, and there was a little family bicycling, and the child went out in front of this woman, and they had a crash. And the woman was injured. It could have been much more serious, and the child could have been injured. Luckily, everybody was kind of okay. But watching that was kind of a wake-up call for me at how quickly these things can happen. A good friend of mine was involved in a very serious accident at White Rock Lake. She and her husband cycle around the lake frequently and have been for some time. And she said there was a little family on bicycles, someone training wheels in front of her, and one of the children suddenly kind of crossed the path and blocked her path, and she veered to avoid hitting the child and injuring the child, but her bike hung and she was thrown from the bike. She'll have to have surgery. She has been out of commission now from exercising for a couple of months as she has recovered. But really, mentally it affected her longer than that. It took her a long time to get back on the bike. She kind of had a post-traumatic stress disorder kind of reaction. Really didn't want to get back on the bike. Her husband talked her into it. And even now, she doesn't want to go out on the busy days, Saturday mornings, Sunday afternoons, because she has a fear of either being hurt or hurting somebody else or somebody jumping in front of her. And so I think, it's a question that we're going to have to address as more and more people are involved. Her question was, this little family did not speak English, and they had a big difficulty trying to communicate with them at the time of the accident. And her question was, do those who don't speak English have sufficient education about the rules of the road to know what to do and what not to do? Children need to be educated, especially because they have not been exposed. But her question is there a way we can translate some signs, translate some rules on the website? What can be done to help people who may not be getting the word about how to be safe on the trails?
I think a lot of common sense needs to come into play. Obviously, I think everyone knows the weekends are going to be places, are times when families are going to be out more than any other time, and young kids are going to be out there. As far as culture clash, there's definitely a culture clash not only between the bike riders and the walkers and joggers and families, but as you say, you know, when I've been visiting down south of the border in countries where they speak Spanish, I've seen a very laid-back attitude about all kinds of traffic. In fact, I will never forget seeing a boy standing on his head on a skateboard that, you know, just kind of darted out across the street where cars were driving, and nothing happened. The cars had to dart around him, but everyone laughed. So for me, I was petrified and mortified, but they weren't. It all turned out okay, and it was fun for everybody. So I'm just saying, you know, there are people even, you know, here, even if they're Dallas natives, who think that bikes are toys. People get new bikes, and they go out on the trails to learn to ride them, which is probably mm-hmm. dangerous. And yet, how do you tell someone, no, you can't do that here? Mm-hmm. Also, my own brother, when I took him out, we went around White Rock Lake. I told him, everybody wears helmets here. I've got one for you. He would not wear it. He doesn't want the nanny state, you know, ruining his bike ride. And some people still don't even wear helmets on motorcycles. So people have all different ideas about safety, but as we get more people more crowded on the trails, I guess we'll have to be more serious about it.
Well, and anybody can make a mistake. I know the other day I was walking and I was watching some uneven pavement by my feet, and I was crossing the ring road at the Lake Lothar as the path crossed the road, and I walked out in front of a biker. You know, I'm usually really careful. In fact, that's why I was looking at the ground, is to be careful about my feet. But I walked right in front of this biker, and he had to avoid hitting me. And of course, he's shaking his head, thinking I'm crazy, and perhaps I am. But it could happen to anybody, that we are distracted, or the phone rings, or you know, children run out in front of the path chasing a ball or whatever. It's really, the path has become almost like a road, because you were talking about bikes. Some people think of bikes as toys. Bikes are really vehicles, and they can do as much damage almost as any other kind of vehicle, depending on how they hit you and where you land. I think we learned that from Lauren Huddleston, who, you know, all it took was her head hitting the pavement, and that was the end.
Should joggers wear helmets?
You know, it's a question my friend asked, because she wore a helmet when she was biking, but she felt like if she had not been wearing her helmet, she would have been very seriously injured. And she thinks that the jogger should wear a helmet. She thinks if the same thing happened to her that had happened to a jogger or a walker, that they would have really had a serious head injury, or could have.
Well, this is obviously, it's going to be an ongoing discussion. There are lots of parties that have weighed in and will continue to weigh in on this issue. You know, the upside of this, which there's not an upside to the tragedy at all, but the trail situation is that you've got lots and lots and lots of people using the trails, which is exactly what you want when you spend tax dollars and government money on something like this. And as you mentioned, Carol, the trails are continuing to be constructed and expanded, so you're basically going to be able to start in Plano and get to South Dallas mm-hmm. at some point. My guess is that the heaviest trail use is probably right around White Rock Lake or the Katy Trail. Those seem to be the two that kind of come to mind when people are thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the trail, White Rock Lake, Katy Trail, and they're going to be heaviest on the weekends. And you've got everything from families strolling to cyclists trying to get some exercise. And that's where it gets complicated, because, you know, it is, in a sense, a road, and we've got all these different users of that road, and there's not necessarily lanes, or there are somewhat rules, but they're not necessarily posted, and even if they are, you know, it depends on where you start on the trail if you're going to see them, you know.
Right.
I'm not sure what the answer is, or if there is answers. I think probably in this case, as in many cases, all you can really do is worry about your own personal safety and pray for the best, I guess, considering everyone else. It makes me rethink. When I'm on the trail, I'm usually out with my one-year-old who's in a jogging stroller. And, you know, it makes me rethink even the use of that for, is that the best place for us? We don't always go the fastest. And, you know, am I just getting in the way?
Well, I posted a blog last week that I was seeing a few people going on the wrong side of the road. and on the wrong side of the trail, going against the grain, so to speak. And I think that that was a desire to face the dangers head on and know what was coming at them and not have the uncertainty of walking or jogging and knowing that someone's coming at you from behind and you don't know how fast or from what direction or whatever. And so I think I only saw a little bit of that, a few people, but it was each time I went, I saw that. The commenters were pretty unanimous that, you know, looking out for your personal safety and violating the rules of the road just makes you safe and everyone else dangerous or in danger. So hopefully that will not be a long-term trend. I think if we can all learn to use the trails with consideration for each other, that includes safety. And that's the best provision for safety.
Well, and that brings up, and I'm sure I will get plenty of people who vehemently disagree with me for various reasons, and that's perfectly fine. But having said that, and your concerning your post last week, if we had, you know, runners and joggers and walkers going one direction on the right side, and we had cyclists going the other direction on the right side, then they would be on opposite sides facing each other. Maybe that is a possible solution for trail etiquette. You can kind of see each other that way. Who knows, though? I'm sure people have already thought this through, and there are reasons not to do that, too. So, commenters, we welcome your opinion.
It may just be the narrowness of the trail, but isn't that the way that we do it on the roads with cars? A walker, at least that's the way
I learned. Yeah, they tell walkers to go opposite traffic.
Right, but the trail is pretty narrow
for those kinds
single
of reasons.
File. Yeah,
sure. Well, let's move on to topic two, which is social media. I have not yet seen The Social Network, nor have I seen Catfish, which is kind of a documentary from what I understand, but both are very much about social media, specifically Facebook, and some of the issues that have arisen in our culture because of these new social media. Ladies, have you seen these movies? And tell me
I went to see. I went to see The Social Network last week with my daughter, and my daughter is 30, so she's through college, and she has we communicate with each other sometimes between upstairs and downstairs on Facebook. So she and I went to see the movie and very much enjoyed it. It is a good movie. Then over the weekend, my son, who's 14. Said, "Mom, can I go to the movies? He was invited by a friend to go see The Social Network." And I said, "No, because this movie is rated PG-13, but I think that's probably an error. And if there was any such thing as PG-16, that would be better."
You know, Ellen, I've seen the movie, but my youngest is in college, and I wasn't looking for probably the same stuff you're looking for. Remind me what's objectionable. I can't remember.
Okay, and this is interesting because I posted this on my Facebook page, and it caused a little furor among my friends who are other moms who tend to have teenagers, and they're all wondering what to do about, you know, going. And some of the kids, of course, have already seen it. Is what I'm about to say is not anything that isn't already in certain reviews. So there is underage sex. There's a lot of depictions of sex. I would call it an orgy. let's see, drugs, to the point where it made me uncomfortable to see it. The way that some of the guys were egging on girls, underage girls, to do drugs. My daughter, who is 30, you know, she said, well, she felt pretty much that what they depict is not that it's a good thing or that it's a good thing for the girls or the guys. She was a little dismayed that in her days of college, cocaine was not really a drug of fashion or, you know, a big thing in use, but right now it's depicted as though it is, and I guess it has made a comeback. So some of these things, I would have been very uncomfortable with my 14-year-old. And there's another view, though, which is that we can't protect them forever. So a younger person, a friend of a friend, wrote on my page that her 15-year-old nephew had been to see it with the parents, and the parents, they opened up a lot of discussion, talked about it. definitely if you see it with your teenager, you could talk about these things. I'd like to throw out a website that I've used, which is commonsensemedia.org. It's just the way common sense is spelled, commonsensemedia.org. And on that site, you can find a review which tells you, it rates the movie as far as kids seeing it, how much, you know, where are their concerns of sex or drugs or violence, which violence is really not a concern, I don't think, in this movie. But it also gives questions at the end that families might talk about. Interestingly, on that page was a review, because people who use the site can review the movies, and there was a review by a 13-year-old who said, well, it would be embarrassing to see this with your parents, but go with your friends. So
the whole young people be embarrassed that they're, you know, at what they see and hear with their parent there brings up the fact that, you know, I think a lot of these college kids, the movie set in college, and college kids were the first ones to use Facebook. And having three kids in college now, I can tell you that they are mortified by the fact that their mother is on Facebook. And I think that's a pretty common view. In fact, on Saturday Night Live this weekend, they had a funny skit about a funny commercial selling software that you can use so that your mom can't see your Facebook stuff. And it kind of translates your objectionable stuff into something that would be appropriate for her viewing. But, you know, I think the college kids today are enjoying putting up lots of pictures and lots of stories about parties and the fun things they've done. And it is so enjoyable to me to see the cute pictures of all my kids and all their friends having a great time, the Texas OU game and all that. But yeah, they're pretty mortified to know I'm watching them.
Well, I think it's great that actually the generations have finally come together over something. One thing to watch is, you know, even if your kid is friended with you and you have their password, I'm talking about a younger kid now, because certainly that would be the condition if my son was going to have a Facebook page. I would have to be able to know how to get on his page. The thing is that on my page, I see nice ads for going back to school and various different things that I'm interested in. My daughter has a page set up for her cat. It's as if he's a human being. And her cat is a single male. So she says when she goes onto his page, the ads are different. So that's another thing to watch out, because the ads are targeted, and if they're targeted to your child in high school, they may not be what the child's mother would wish.
That's a very interesting point.
Well, and I know, Ellen, you were saying that it can affect birthday parties and some of that you go online on your Facebook page and put pictures of your 13-year-old's birthday party, or they do it themselves, and the next thing you know, the kids who maybe weren't invited, the moms are calling you.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, not me.
Okay.
I've heard about it, and so I try to be really careful about that. I've shared, you know, some of my joy about the fact that my son is in the band, but even for, let's say, adult parties or whatever, I mean, I don't think that's the time to go on there and say, guess what, we had a party, but I couldn't invite the whole world, you know.
So. Yeah,
right. And those are some etiquette issues that Facebook brings up, and I guess I have some friends. You mentioned your daughter's about 30. I'm 30 as well, and I have friends around my age who have an age limit on Facebook. They'll be friends with their parents and maybe a few other family members, but I have one friend in particular who cuts off anybody older than 40 because he says he doesn't want his mother's friends always seeing everything that's on Facebook. Apparently he's fine with his mom seeing it, so he's not doing too much wrong, but not everybody. And it's been interesting, as you know, you're right, Carol, it did start as kind of a college phenomenon. I got onto Facebook pretty late in the game. And I think it's because, and this is funny because I'm in journalism and I believe, you know, the truth makes us better, but there was something about putting everything in my life on showcase for anyone to see that I might have gone to high school with, or that might be a distant relative whom I've never talked to, that made me uncomfortable. And it's funny how different people have embraced kind of different levels of showcasing their life on Facebook. And I think if I've read things, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, has this kind of belief that everything should be open all the time, which is very much how Facebook operates. But I feel a little bit differently.
Well, he also, there is an article that I read in The New Yorker a couple weeks ago that was an interview with Mark Zuckerberg, or a feature on him, the real Mark Zuckerberg. And that might be something, if you're interested, to look at. I mean,
The New Yorker, you said?
The New Yorker.
We'll post a link
right
on the blog.
Because he particularly doesn't have the biggest Facebook page. He may have the biggest number of friends, but he doesn't share everything in the world.
That's interesting.
On his own page.
Well, originally, of course, Facebook was set up where you could only access it if you had a college email address. In fact, it started, you had to be a student at Harvard and have a Harvard email address, and then expanded to multiple colleges, and for a long time you had to have a college email address in order to access it. So that was, I think, part of the mystique, was it was only college kids. And as Facebook expanded to everybody, for instance, my mom is on Facebook and her friends, and so, but you know, I just get back to, and a lot of my kids' friends kind of tease me about it, I get a lot of joy from seeing them having a great time, and they win an award, or they, you know, have a new boyfriend, or you know, they are doing well. It makes me happy. And,
yeah, in a way, I think it almost tightens up the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And if the moms of Facebook are the ones that bring manners to Facebook, oh well.
And that is, I mean, there's something nice about that, that you kind of have to think twice, okay, I'm posting this on my Facebook page, do I want my great aunt to see it? You know, those kind of things. For me, and for probably people who have families, it's nice because it's an easy way to keep in touch with your relatives without having to, you know, send photos in the mail or email
well, and
stuff.
Well, in high school and college class reunions are completely transformed with Facebook. We're getting ready to have my 30th high school reunion, and the number of lost people is very tiny because the linkages with everybody, it's instantaneous that you can get hundreds of people together and get an invitation to them.
And there are no rules that say you have to use Facebook and showcase your entire life. If you want to have a page simply to connect with, you know, high school classmates, or simply to connect with family members, or simply to connect with a specific group of friends, you can completely do that. And I've actually read some Facebook etiquette kind of rules that I'll try to look up and find for this post that said, you know, you don't have to accept every friend that comes your way, and if people are offended, you can explain, I'm using Facebook for this specific purpose, and I, you know, no offense to you, it's just that's what I'm using it for. So it's just very interesting, and I think we'll continue to, I mean, we haven't seen the end of issues that crop up, and innovative things that crop up because of Facebook. Mm-hmm. And while we're on the topic, I'll just really quickly plug, we do have an advocate Facebook page, and if you're not a friend, you really should be, and the reason why is because we have contests weekly where you can win stuff, and there's some really good prizes on there that I would try for myself if I weren't an employee of the Advocate. So just a little plug there, it's facebook.com/advocatemagazines. Anything else on this topic? Well, we've talked a lot this week. Thanks so much for listening to the Lake Highlands podcast. This has been an edition of Advocate Radio.